Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am Carly Corrigal and I'm actually recording this on an unusually sunny day. For those of you listening in the UK, it feels like it has been the longest winter and all it has done is rain. So you will appreciate the joy, the unique joy of seeing rays of sunlight. Anyway, it's also half term and I wanted to do something a little different today, which is to give you a bit of a personal confession, because I think it's very easy to think that as a fitness professional, I have it all licked, and I absolutely don't. And I do make mistakes with my training. I do things that are a bit silly that I would not advise my clients to do. And I wanted to kind of open up a discussion on this with you today. And this is a story that I've talked about with girlfriends and clients, and they were all like, oh, this would make an amazing podcast episode. You need to talk about this because there are so many lessons learned. I have sacrificed myself at the altar of bad training for you people to bring you this today. So I hope it will serve as a bit of a cautionary tale. And it's one about intensity, which is something that I wang on about all the time. Now, as midlife women, the hypothesis is that we don't do very well with training in the sort of mid-zone. Now, just to recap, if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, when you're training, if you imagine, forget what you've learned about heart rate zones, by the way, this isn't about heart rate zones, but if you imagine chunking your training into different levels. So at the very bottom of that level, we've got this lovely, easy level of training where you could literally like go all day long. Think of it like a really nice walk, maybe if you're super fit, a cycle or a run, but just that pace where you can kind of sustain it indefinitely. And then right at the top, we've got that full out, maxed, lungs burning, muscles screaming at you, your brain's going, oh my days, just bloody well stop already. So what we don't do very well on in midlife women is this kind of bit in the middle, which if I asked you when you're doing it, is this hard? You'd go, yeah, but I'm coping. And when you finish it, you think, yeah, sure, I was a bit sweaty there. Yep, I worked quite hard. But you wouldn't really say it was flat out. You definitely wouldn't say it was easy, but you wouldn't say it was like as hard as you've ever worked. And too much work in this middle zone, my friends, we know from the data that we've got, is not great for us as midlife women, because our bodies need a bit more of a training nudge. And they need that impetus, because it's when we ask more of ourselves that we start to grow and get fitter and stronger. If we're just coasting along a level that's kind of sort of hard, sort of easy, we're not giving ourselves enough of that strong training impetus. And as our hormones start to drop, we lose that growth factor that they provide, okay? In addition, we often have quite stressful lives in midlife. Our bodies are trying to do all manner of new things. They are adjusting to a new hormonal profile. We've often got a lot of extraneous stress on our shoulders. So we are probably getting enough stress stimulus from the rest of our life. And this type of mid-zone training is enormously stressful, and it can lead to things like chronically elevated cortisol, which is just going to leave you feeling tired but wired, poor recovery, rubbish sleep, and hangriness, as we're going to learn from my tale. So I know this in theory. Oh my God. I talk about this all the time. If you go onto my Instagram, you will see I have posts and posts and posts about this very thing. I frequently talk to other women who come to me and say, Carly, I feel like I'm not progressing with my workouts. I feel like I'm plateauing. I'm so tired. I'm so hungry. I'm gaining weight. I feel like shit. What's going on? And I ask them what they're doing when we start working together, and they tell me, and I'm like, I think you're spending too much time in this mid zone. I want you to really polarize your effort so you get some of the really hard stuff, some of the easy stuff, and you're going to minimize the stuff in the middle. You know, they go away. It might take them a little bit of an adjustment, but they start to do it. They feel better, and we all go, brilliant, it's worked. So why the hell do I not take my own advice? Well, many reasons, but I want to share this with you today. So As those of you that have followed me for a while know, I'm a runner. I have been running since I was in sixth form at school. I think I first started running actually because I read a supplement in a magazine that told me it would make me skinny. So, you know, there we are, started for totally the wrong reasons, but I have been running throughout my whole adult life. I've done everything from, you know, 1 mile time trials right through to 55 mile ultra marathons and everything in between. I've run God knows how many marathons because I've done quite a few in training as well as ones where I've got a medal at the end. I can't even tell you how many thousands and thousands of miles I've run. So I've got a lot of experience here, but I'm not telling you this to go, oh, wow, look at me. Aren't I great? Quite the opposite. I'm telling you this because I want to show you that sometimes the most obvious things are right under your nose. And I hadn't done a race for a really long time. And I say race because it's what we call them, isn't it? But it's not really a race, an event. Let's call it an event. And I got a bit of a bug last summer. I got a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? An itch that I couldn't scratch. And I thought, I really fancy doing an event. So I put a shout out on social media, said, does anyone have any suggestions? I'm looking for an event for the autumn. I want a nice challenge. And anyway, I decided to do a trail half marathon at the start of November. I thought, brilliant. I've got sort of 4 months to build that up. That should be nice and easy. I've done loads of halves before. So, you know, half marathon is a challenging distance, but I knew I had it in my locker there. I knew what it would feel like. Brilliant. Really excited to do it. And I think that was kind of my first massive error, was the underestimation of the fact that I hadn't run anywhere near a half marathon for a really long time. And I just thought, okay, I've done this ages ago, so of course I'll be absolutely fine. So I started to have a look at my training, and those of you that have worked with me before, you'll know that I love writing training plans. I really do. I enjoy building up with my clients. I was really excited to do it. So I had a look at what I was doing across my week and I thought, this is great. I'll just build up my long run mileage and I need to make some space for that. So what I'll do is I'll chop out one of my strength sessions across the week because, you know, I haven't got the time. And actually, you know, I appreciate my strength work is really, really important, but something's got to give. Okay, that's sound advice. And I just sort of started cracking on with it. But what I had failed to think about was the fact that my running pace had changed since I last trained for a half marathon. I can't actually remember the last time before this that I ran a half marathon in an event. I've done longer distances. I think probably it was pre-pandemic, so quite a while ago. And I started to build up this long run distance and something started to happen. And it was quite a gradual shift. The first few weeks I felt great. I was like, this is brilliant. I'm going out, I'm doing these long runs. But I did what I tell you all not to do, which was I started to look at my pace. And I started to beat myself up for my lack of pace. And I started to think, well, I should be running a bit quicker than this. And that was probably, if I had to distill this down into the biggest error I made with my training, it was that. It was letting my ego creep in. Because what I hadn't done is I hadn't done enough base building. Now, if you are into your running, this may be a familiar concept to you, but what we need for these longer distances is a really strong aerobic base. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, I've done a podcast a few episodes back on cardio, which does go into this as well, but just a little recap. Essentially, you are building up your body's ability to use oxygen efficiently. So you are building your slow twitch muscle fibers, which you need for lots of endurance. You're building the quality of those fibers, and you are also building the quality of your mitochondria, which are the powerhouses. If you did GCSE PE, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. The powerhouses of your cells. So you can use that oxygen really efficiently. It's like building your engine. What I hadn't done is built my engine, my friends. Instead, I'd sort of started her up on day one and gone, right, well, we'll just build from here then. No, no, no. So that was my error. I didn't build it up. And all I ended up doing was repeating this cycle of trying to plod along in what I thought in my head should be my pace. Okay. but was actually a very kind of middle zone. And I just made that bigger and bigger and bigger. And every time I did a long run, I kept going at this pace that I really was too quick for me. And I came back and I thought, oh, well, that was still a bit slow. It was slower than I ran 5-6 years ago. Why am I so slow? I should be going quicker. And I just kept cycling through this. And as I was doing it, I noticed several other things going on. And I wonder if you're going to be able to relate to this when I start going through them. So the only way I can describe it, and I was chatting this through with a doctor friend of mine the other day, is that my hormones appeared to fall off a cliff. So all of my symptoms relating to perimenopause seemed to get worse. It wasn't an overnight thing, but it definitely started to shift. So my periods are fairly irregular anyway, but they just fell off a cliff completely. I was getting night sweats. I was getting palpitations and flushes, which were horrible. I found things like caffeine. I very rarely touch alcohol, but those things would just completely send me into a horrible, sweaty, anxious nightmare. My sleep was really disturbed. I was hangry all the time. And this is classic. So what happens here if we're in this mid-zone is that our bodies are just trying to find anything to bolster them, to give themselves that energy boost, to be able to kind of recover. So your appetite hormones, your ghrelin is going to go through the roof. It is going to absolutely go through the roof. And you are going to find that you cannot sate that appetite. This is classic. And I would say it's not even true appetite, because it's not always about your body trying to replace what it's burned. It's very important to fuel yourself. But I think we tend to overcompensate in this situation. I just couldn't get enough recovery time in the program that I'd set myself. And don't get me wrong, I was not going out and running every single day. I'd literally swapped one of my strength training sessions for a run. But that run was at the wrong intensity. I also, probably as a result of all the eating I was doing, gained some weight around my tummy. But I think more than this, I just felt very bloated. And that, I believe, is a result of some systemic inflammation. And that would be quite common to have that level of inflammation increase when you were doing a lot of this mid-zone training. Anyway, I did get fitter. My running fitness did improve. I did feel tired most of the time towards the back end of my training. And I definitely noticed there was probably a drop off in the gains that I was making versus how well I was feeling in myself. And that, I think, happened probably when I was running in excess for an hour at a time, which when you're training for a half marathon, you'd often do runs of over an hour. But if I ran for more than an hour, I'd find that would just wipe me out. And I'd really struggle to recover. I'd be super hungry. All my symptoms would come back. It just wasn't fun. Anyway, fast forward to race day. Now, I had a day like today for my run. I was so lucky. It was absolutely stunning. Beautiful, beautiful sunny day. And I thoroughly enjoyed the run. Yes, I found it really hard. And it was very hilly. It was before all the rain that we've had. So actually, it was quite wet, but nowhere near the bog, the quagmire that I would experience if I probably ran the same route now. But I would say, and we are now, where are we, 3 months on, I've only really just got back to feeling like me again in the last couple of weeks, which sounds very melodramatic, but honestly, I think I'm probably quite attuned to how my body feels. I am well aware of everything as a coach and where I should be, although I don't think this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think it was a training error on my part. And I think, actually, it's quite marked to me how, as a woman in my mid-40s, even with all the knowledge that I've got, if I kind of slip back into those old patterns of training, how it really does knock me. And I think I can learn from this, and hopefully you will learn from this as well, that too much of that mid-zone stuff in midlife is just not good for most women. I also think I hadn't taken account of the amount of extraneous stress in my life at that point. I had a lot of other stuff going on. Life was really busy. That term, I think, if you've got kids, it's always busy when they go back to school. You're always busier than you think. You think, oh gosh, yeah, they've gone back to school, so it's a different kind of busy. But actually, there's so much going on. We had a lot going on at home as well, a lot of various different stressful things happening, including a horrible broken boiler that seemed to take months to get fixed. And I think it all mounts up. It really does all mount up. So what could I have done differently? Well, first things first, I could have been really mindful of that intensity. I think I totally let my ego get to me. I was too busy looking at my pace. I was too busy thinking about me, age 38, and what I would have been able to run. And I didn't take the time there to really scale back and polarize that intensity. There'll always be, when you're training for one of these sort of longer events, particularly kind of the sort of, and this is by no means saying that a half marathon isn't a long event, but rather than something like an ultra where you are going to be forced to train at a much lower intensity, I think sort of those 10Ks, half marathons are kind of a bit of a danger zone, because it will probably, race day will involve a bit of that mid-zone effort because you'll want to push yourself, but you can't go flat out. So I think there's always an element of that, but really making the effort to go slow. I needed to just go slow and leave my ego at the door. I think, yes, I could have waited until a quieter period in my life. I mean, when does that ever happen? But to be honest, ladies, and I do say this to women, like, you don't want to put your goals on hold. I want you to know that you can do these things, right? You absolutely can. But I think we all need to be mindful of the fact that our bodies are trying to do something quite incredible in the background in perimenopause and menopause. They're trying to adjust to this lower hormonal profile. And in the same way that, you know, if you were talking to your teenage daughter about this and she was saying, oh, maybe she's really into her sport, and she was saying, oh, mum, sometimes I just feel totally shattered. You'd be saying to her, well, your body's growing and you're trying to do all of these different things. And sometimes we just need a little bit of a shift. We need a bit of respect for what our bodies are trying to do. If you've ever had a baby, think of your pregnancy, you know. We often say to, I remember I used to do quite a lot of pre and postnatal training with various clients, and you know, I often used to say to them, your pregnancy isn't the time to be setting PBs. You absolutely can train throughout pregnancy. It's a fantastic thing to do if your health allows and your pregnancy allows. But you can't realistically be setting PBs in that situation. Now, I'm not saying as women in midlife, we can't set PBs. We absolutely can. But we need that understanding that there is so much else going on, and we have to be mindful of that and really dial into it. It's so important. So this is my cautionary tale, and I did get it wrong. I really did. I let my ego get in the way. I will not be doing that again. I will be very mindful of it, but I want you still to achieve your goals, okay? It's 100% confirmed to me that mid-zone is not for me at this point in my life. We know that it's going to leave our cortisol high. It doesn't provide enough of a training nudge to trigger adaptations when those growth hormones are low. And if I was doing absolutely nothing else in my life, then maybe I could have trained like that and not had the consequences that I did, but not now. So if you are interested in my goals for this year, I have switched them up completely. So no more of this kind of middle distance, like sort of hard, sort of not hard stuff. I am going to try and get faster. I am trying to get faster over 5K, which for me at the moment involves lots of short, sharp bursts of training and then some nice, easy efforts. And because I'm getting that lovely balance, I feel like my energy is back, which is brilliant. And my intervals are much shorter. So I'm not going out and trying to trudge around for an hour in that mid zone. I'm also got a strength goal for this year, which is I really want to master my pull-ups. I got fairly okay at them last summer, and then because of this, I didn't have the time to train them regularly. And pull-ups are something that if you're not doing them regularly, you're going to find them hard. So I'm working a lot of technique, doing a lot of work on my shoulders, on my back, so I can really, really nail those this year as a little party trick. So if you're listening to this and thinking, oh no, where does that leave me? And I've booked a half marathon for this year, I would say just dial in to how your body's feeling. And it's all temporary, right? You know, if you're doing a plan for the next 3 months, that's not you for the next, 3 years. get that done. Really dial into how you're feeling. Take good care of your body. It's that wraparound, whatever else we're doing, and being mindful of how each and every session affects you. I think with the rise of AI coaching and apps, we don't often do that. Sometimes we just kind of assume that we're, you know, broken or, oh, why aren't I performing in the way that I should? But just tune into how your body's feeling. And you might need to tweak things, but I still want you to have those big goals and I want to help you get there. So I would love to know, and you can pop over to my Instagram. I will leave my handle. I'm at Carly Corrigal. Pop into my DMs and tell me, have you noticed how different workouts cut differently these days? Because I think this is a really common thread, and certainly the women that come into my coaching program, particularly my Reboot, which is my holistic program for women in midlife, and we look at absolutely everything and we put together these bespoke training programs for you, I've noticed this is a very common theme, okay? But if you want a little place to start today, then you can download, I've got a free guide, the Training Tweak Guide, and it is all about intensity and looking at that, how that can affect our bodies. And it will really give you the opportunity to zoom out and look at across your week what you're doing now, what might be working, where you might need to shift things up. So I'm going to put the link to that in my bio as well for you. My friends, I hope that you learn from my mistakes. There are many more mistakes and I will be sharing them with you over the coming months. But thank you so much for listening. It is a pleasure to have you here. If you are enjoying the pod, then can I ask a quick favour that you pop over and whichever your preferred listening platform is, you just leave me a quick review because it really helps me to grow the pod and to reach more women. Have a cracking week. I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.